Production support for Earth Eats comes from Need More Coffee Roasters, a woman-owned coffee bar and roastery dedicated to roasting organic, direct trade, and fair trade coffee from small-scale farmers around the world, offering signature drinks, teas, and little eats. Located on Pete Ellis Drive, needmoreroasters.com. And Charles Schwab & Company, Incorporated, with a local branch on Morton Street in Bloomington. Independent branch leader Jeremy Zeichner, CFP, offers personalized financial plans matched to investors' goals. More at schwab.com/Bloomington. Welcome to Earth Eats. I'm Kate Young. This week on our show, we take the Back to Our Roots plant eating challenge, where we find out how many different plant foods we can squeeze into a week's worth of eating and why we would want to do that in the first place. Harvest Public Media has a story on the benefits for farmers planting nut trees for soil conservation. And if you missed the boat on fresh peas last week, not to worry. We've got another idea for those spring treasures later on in the show. So stay tuned. Let's go to the news with Alex Chambers. Hey, Alex, what's new?
Hey, Kate. What's new? Let's see. I made strawberry jam last weekend for the first time ever.
Oh, wow. You did it.
Yeah, it was great. The strawberries smelled so good as they were cooking down. It was really fun.
Okay. Well, what I meant was, what's in the news?
Right. Mexico's retaliating against Trump's tariffs with its own import taxes on U.S. food. And senators are trying to get more funding into the Farm Bill for mental health services in rural areas.
Okay. Well, let's get to it.
Sounds good. Mexico has announced retaliatory tariffs on pork from the U.S., along with taxes on other imported goods. The country announced a 20% tariff on pork legs and shoulders. Mexico imports over $1 billion worth of those commodities each year, 90% of which come from the U.S. The move follows last week's announcement from the White House that tariffs would be imposed on steel and aluminum imports from Mexico, Canada, and Europe. On May 31st, President Trump said the tariffs on steel and aluminum from Mexico, Canada, and the European Union were necessary because they engage in competition that hurts U.S. national security. Canada has pledged to impose tariffs on U.S. imports, including whiskey, orange juice, steel, and aluminum. Mexico will also impose tariffs on apples, grapes, cheese, steel, and other goods. Mexican Economy Minister Ildefonso Guajardo announced this week that Mexico would pivot to Europe for pork imports. The trade skirmish comes just as the U.S. tries to hammer out new details of the North American Free Trade Agreement with Canada and Mexico. The Senate Agriculture Committee is expected to release its Farm Bill draft in the coming days, and a bipartisan group of senators is looking to add $10 million worth of federal grants to that bill in order to help farmers who are grappling with mental health issues. Many rural areas lack adequate hospitals and healthcare services. The money would help boost or create counseling services, helplines, support groups, and outreach efforts at a time when rural suicide rates are higher than those in urban areas. Josie Rudolphy is an associate research scientist with the National Farm Medicine Center. She says the grants could be used in creative ways.
People gather around faith-based organizations, commodity groups, social groups, and so providing resources to these types of organizations might be more impactful than putting mental health providers in every county.
The bill was first introduced in April. And Missouri Democrat Claire McCaskill and Iowa Republican Chuck Grassley recently signed on. Thanks to Chad Bouchard and Harvest Public Media for those reports.
And thanks to you, Alex Chambers.
No problem, Kate.
Thank you. farmers want to take good care of their land, which can include controlling how water flows through it and preventing nutrients and soil from washing away. Trees can be an important part of a conservation plan. As Harvest Public Media's Amy Mayer reports, some landowners are hoping to get a tasty little profit from those trees as well.
Next to a rebuilt old barn, a dirt ridge surrounds most of two sides of a former cattle lot. The swale, as it's called, controls water flow. Where cattle once ate, orange flags now mark the future locations of various fruit trees. Bruce Carney says his family will be the first to enjoy any cherries, apricots, or peaches.
We sell a lot of beef and pork and poultry, so we have a whole list of customers out there. So if we grow more than what we need, we could do like a U-pick.
For Carney, any profits from selling fruit or nuts are a bonus to the conservation benefits. The tree's first job is to help keep water, soil, and nutrients out of the nearby creek. Eventually, any additional income might help his kids or grandkids as they farm into the future.
I've always had a sense of I need to do something better than what I got it. It needs to be turned over to the next generation better.
Carney turned to forester Luke Gran of the consulting company Prudentera for advice about what to plant and where. Gran says one of the biggest challenges he faces is that his suggestions often require a paradigm shift in a farmer's thinking.
I think we limit our creativity too often by what we see our neighbors doing, you know, whether it's the way we manage our lawns or the way we manage our crop ground. And if we just relied on what everybody else is doing, you know, we wouldn't have very interesting places.
Grand surveys a landscape with its owner, pointing out mature black walnut that can be hugely profitable for timber, and explaining how even a small number of Chinese chestnut trees could yield thousands of dollars in annual income after about a decade. But he knows many people can't spend money today for a profit that far down the road.
There's a lot of factors that limit the ability of people to dive into a high-value nut or fruit orchard production system.
Even in some states where nuts are a rare crop, there's money to be made. Larry Martin heads up the Heartland Nuts and More Co-op with 46 members in Iowa, Missouri, Kansas, Nebraska, and South Dakota. They plant trees specially grafted to do well in these states. And the nuts are ready faster than in more traditional growing areas.
They retain more oils with the shorter ripening season. Plus, they retain more nutty flavor than the southern pecan.
Martin says some members with irrigated cropland will put a few nut trees in an awkward corner that's not suited to the main crop. Since the co-op handles processing and sales, this can be a relatively easy way to develop nuts as a side project.
Now, this is the area where we planted trees.
Ione Cleverly is another farmer who's making long-term land use decisions in central Iowa. She wants to stop erosion alongside the crop fields she now rents out and clean up the water in the creek below. A timber stand separates the two, but wild roses had taken over, making it impassable.
See the little buds?
Oh, yeah.
She's gotten things thinned out, sold some timber, and over the past year planted hundreds of black walnut, chestnut, cherry, hickory, and oak trees. She's retired from farming and finally can focus beyond the annual balance sheet.
You need that financial freedom to make those decisions. And a younger family starting to farm does not have that. Most of them.
Someday her grandchildren or their children might profit by selling timber from trees she's planting now.
Won't be in my lifetime.
But she does enjoy gathering walnuts and baking with them. And that's something she can enjoy with her family today. Amy Mayer, Harvest Public Media.
And you can learn more about Harvest Public Media at harvestpublicmedia.org. Production support comes from Elizabeth Rue, enrolled agent with Personal Financial Services, assisting businesses and individuals with tax preparation and planning for over 15 years. More at personalfinancialservices.net. a clean bedroom, offering organic mattresses, adjustable beds, and pillows, helping Mindful customers create a sustainable and organic clean bedroom step by step. New York City, Boston, and now Indianapolis. More at thecleanbedroom.com. And Charles Schwab & Company, Incorporated, with a local branch on Morton Street in Bloomington. Independent branch leader Jeremy Zeigner, CFP, offers personalized financial plans matched to investors' goals. More at schwab.com/Bloomington.
Asparagus, bell pepper, cabbage, carrot, cauliflower, celery, green onion, lettuce, mushroom, napa, cabbage, hazelnut, peanut, sesame seed, sunflower seed.
I'm Stephen Lalovich. I'm a registered dietitian for the IU Health Center and Healthy IU, which is the university workplace wellness program. Healthy IU serves all the IU campuses throughout the state, and we provide a variety of programs and services, all of which are free of charge to IU employees. Our most popular program is our health screening program, where you get your height, weight, blood pressure, and cholesterol and glucose measured. We also offer one-on-one nutrition counseling. One of our best ways to engage employees is through various challenges that we do. We've done sleep challenge, weight loss challenge, stair climbing challenge, and our most recent one that we just completed was a nutrition challenge called Back to Our Roots. The Back to Our Roots Plant Eating Challenge was a 3-week challenge, and it encouraged employees to increase the variety of different plants that they consumed. So this would include vegetables, fruits, grains, nuts and seeds, beans, herbs and spices. Each week, participants tracked how many different plant foods they ate, and they set a goal each week and tried to achieve their goal.
Garlic, clove, nutmeg, oregano, paprika.
I took the plant eating challenge and I kept a radio diary with my 12-year-old son, Cosmo.
Hi, my name is Cosmo Pearson Young, and I go to Templeton Elementary.
It has an online interface, a checklist of different plant foods.
Put in the plants that you've eaten today, and then click save and continue.
The first version of the challenge that I created was just a bunch of blank spaces, and I think that would not have gone as well as it did in its current format, where instead of just a bunch of blank spaces, it became more of a checklist, and you'd click on things as you would eat them, and it was counting those as you clicked.
Click save and continue.
So yeah, it was more interactive that way. It also helped to prompt you to see those things that were maybe opportunities to eat, so then you could then click on them after you ate them.
Click save and continue.
Cumin.
Cardamom. Cloves. Nutmeg.
Apple. Banana.
I asked Stephen about the thinking behind the challenge. Why is it a good idea to have a variety of plant foods in your diet?
One of the first times that I really considered doing a challenge like this was when I was preparing a presentation for employees about the gut microbiome and the benefits of the bacteria that we have in our digestive tract. And one of the ways to promote a healthier digestive tract and to promote a greater diversity of bacterial species is to make sure that you're eating a diversity of different plant species. And also, there are many different nutrients and phytonutrients found in different plants, and it's not something you can get from just one or two plants. And so by making sure you're including a variety, through that variety, there can be a lot of different health benefits.
That's really interesting to think about improving gut health through a variety of plants, because what you mostly hear these days is, you know, eating probiotics, eating fermented foods, and hearing that all these different kinds of plants carry these different kinds of microorganisms that improve health.
I guess it helps to distinguish between probiotics and prebiotics. So the probiotics would be those fermented foods or supplements that contain the actual live bacteria, whereas prebiotics are the food that the bacteria eat. And in the form of plant foods, this would primarily be fiber. So there are different types of fiber found in different plants, and each different type of fiber feeds a different type of bacterial species. So to promote that diversity,
grape,
it helps to make sure that you're
fruit,
eating different plants.
Lemon. Orange,
could you just tell us what phytonutrients are? What's the difference between a nutrient and a phytonutrient?
So generally when we think of nutrients, we think of things like vitamins and minerals and fats, proteins, carbohydrates. Phytonutrients are other compounds that we find in plants. So phyto meaning plant nutrients. And there are different types of phytonutrients. I think there are thousands of different types. And these compounds have a lot of different health benefits associated with them. In particular, many of them help to reduce inflammation in the body. And a lot of chronic diseases have an inflammatory component. So by eating more plants, by eating more of those different colors, we can help to keep inflammation in check and maybe prevent a lot of those chronic diseases.
I filled out the tracker with my son, and on the first day I said I had some chutney, and there was peach in the chutney, but it wasn't a full serving of peach. I asked Cosmo what he thought about that.
I think that you just have to eat the fruit raw because it's kind of like if you eat tortilla chips, then you kind of miss corn. That's kind of what it's like, but I don't think you should be able to do that.
And so he was kind of surprised by that. He didn't think that any junk food should count.
Yeah, we intentionally left the rules of the challenge more open-ended so that people could interpret how they wanted to categorize things on a personal level, because we're all coming from a different place in our lives. You know, some of us may want to focus more on strictly whole plant foods, whereas others may be making a step in the right direction, including some more of those processed plant foods that still might have some health benefits.
And as the weeks of the challenge went on, I found myself searching for new ways to add additional plants to the list. I was seeking out that variety instead of just sticking to my old favorites. And though I was the only one taking the challenge, the whole family was in on it. Carl came home with a pineapple one day, and he made a dish with farro with the intention of adding a new grain for the week.
Garbanzo beans, kidney beans, lentils, peas, pinto beans, chamomile, cinnamon, clove, ginger.
The whole time it felt like a game.
Nutmeg,
I was competing with myself somehow, and it never felt restrictive.
What we wanted through the challenge was for people to have a mindset of more rather than less. Oftentimes when we think of eating or healthy eating, we think it means restricting. But in the case of these plant foods, they provide a lot of health benefits. And by increasing the amount and eating more of them, we can reap a lot of those benefits.
Tomato, coconut, peach.
If you want to take a look at the Back to Our Roots Plant Eating Challenge, you can go to the Healthy IU website. And we'll have a link for that on our website, eartheats.org.
Great job. You met your goal for week 3. Your goal, 65 plants. You ate 69 plants. Congratulations.
Thanks for your help.
No problem. Cranberry, pineapple, plantain, strawberry, farro, oats, almond, and tangerine.
Next up, we have a dish featuring at least 2 different plants, pea pods and oranges. You might recall last week's recipe featuring sugar snap peas tossed in a salad with fennel and blueberries. Well, it's still pea season, but not for long, so we had to sneak in one last pea dish before they're gone. This week, we joined Chef Daniel Orr on his day off, out at his mom's place near Columbus, Indiana. Out there, they've got a lovely herb garden and a robust vegetable patch. Time for some true garden-to-table cooking.
Today I'm going to show you guys how to make a real nice side dish. And this can be served either hot or cold. You know, we're right at the height of pea season. What I'm doing is I'm taking these pea pods and I'm just breaking them off. Now I'm taking the stem side, and I'm pulling the kind of little thread off. So where it attaches to the plant, I'm taking it and dragging that little string out of it so they're going to be nice and tender. So you can see I've got these nice little strings. Now, you know, they wouldn't kill you, but and they'd add some fiber to your life, but it's going to be much more pleasant to have those off there. So I'm going to take those and put them onto the side. And these are ones that I picked yesterday, but let's go out to the garden and see. And that's the great thing about being out here is that we can go and can really cook right from the garden, which is my favorite thing to do. And you can see we have these nice pea plants. I'm just gonna pick those off. And I like eating the little shoots off the top. Have you eaten these before?
Yeah.
And then even the pea flowers are really tasty. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go back inside. So what we're going to do is we're going to make a quick salad. And I love the flavor of orange and peas together. We're going to take some fresh orange juice and reduce it down and cook the peas right in that orange juice. I'm going to put this over high heat. And then I've got an orange, so we'll cut this orange in half. Squeeze this into the pan. And I'm going to squeeze all that pulp and everything right into the pan with that. It's important to use fresh orange. Some people like to use orange concentrate, but I like to use fresh orange.
Probably doesn't taste as good. Exactly. With the concentrate.
It's real quick because it's reduced down. It's got the sugar and everything there, but it's not real. Okay, then I'm going to take a microplane file. All right, so make sure you're using organic oranges, and we're just going to grate out the peel of one orange. The juice of one orange and the peel of an orange, probably about a half an orange. I'm reducing this down, and I am going to add some agave syrup, which is from the same plant that tequila comes from. I'm going to add about a quarter cup of that, about a quarter teaspoon of salt, some freshly grated pepper, and I'd say about 4 or 5 turns of pepper. Okay, now we're going to just cook this down until it becomes a little syrupy. And I've got about 2 cups of pea pods fresh out of the garden, ready to drop in there. And you can tell, a lot of times I always tell people, you know, you have to experience your produce by all senses, by sight and smell and taste, but also by ear. So when I kind of rub these together, you can hear that squeakiness. You know, same thing with an artichoke and other vegetables. You can tell that they're fresh because they're squeaky fresh. Yeah, taste that. It's got a really nice balance of sweetness, that pepperiness. Now, we haven't added any fat to this at all. Okay, I'm going to drop in these peas. We're just going to cook these until They've kind of turned a darker color. And we just want them to cook. We want them to stay nice and crispy fresh. And it's important that you toss them around all the time during cooking so everything cooks evenly. So I don't want to overcook these. I'm going to taste them. So they've just cooked through. Again, you've been here the whole time. Not a long cooking process. I'm going to add a little more salt. Turn off the heat. And those are our orange glazed pea pods.
Ooh, that's hot. That's a great flavor combo.
Isn't it? I mean, I love the orange and the peas.
Mm-hmm. I love the pepper.
Yeah,
the pepper and the black pepper and the orange and that sweet. That's perfect. And you never did add any fat to that. I thought you said I haven't added any yet, but I thought you were going to.
Nope. No, it's completely fat-free.
Doesn't need it.
No, it doesn't. And actually, the fat would distract you. You've got certain dishes you need some fat. So let's say dandelion greens and bitter things and endive and radicchio and some of those things, they need some fat or some sweet or some saltiness. Sweet peas are so sweet, they just need a little frame put around them and just to highlight their natural goodness.
Production support comes from Need More Coffee Roasters, a woman-owned coffee bar and roastery dedicated to roasting organic, direct trade, and fair trade coffee from small-scale farmers around the world, offering signature drinks, teas, and little eats. Located on Pete Ellis Drive, needmoreroasters.com. Elizabeth Rue, enrolled agent with Personal Financial Services, assisting businesses and individuals with tax preparation and planning for over 15 years. More at personalfinancialservices.net. And The Clean Bedroom, offering organic mattresses, adjustable beds, and pillows. Helping mindful customers create a sustainable and organic clean bedroom, step by step. New York City, Boston, and now Indianapolis. More at thecleanbedroom.com. That's it for Earth Eats this week. Shout out to everyone who helps make it happen. Ayabon Binder, Chad Bouchard, Alex Chambers, Mark Chilla, Taylor Killo, Daniel Orr, and all the folks at Farm Bloomington Restaurant, the IU Food Institute, and Harvest Public Media. Special thanks this week to Stephen Lalovich and Cosmo Pearson Young. Earth Eats theme music is composed by Aaron Toby and performed by Aaron and Matt Toby. Our executive producer is John Bailey. I'm Kate Young. I produce the show, and I thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.